Very good. I enjoy that. Amen. Very good. All right, it is 8:05. We will finish on time. Got a couple of announcements for you. So get in 1 Samuel 29, and we're going to roll, okay? 1 Samuel 29, and I knew all that we had to do in the service tonight, so I have planned a brief lesson. Let's pray it goes according to plan. Amen. Yes, sir. 1 Samuel 29. I do appreciate you coming out on Wednesday nights. I know the kids have got to go to school tomorrow morning. And I know some of you men are saying, kids are going to school. How about us going to work? So I know that. And I do not want to abuse your being here tonight. God bless you. All right. Thank you, dear Father, for this evening already. Our hearts have felt and been blessed. And we pray now that you'll please bless the lesson to us. Give us just some practical help tonight to live for you from this man's life. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name and amen. Let me speak to you on only a boy named David. Don't take a chance. Don't take a chance. Now, you remember from last week, David received some bad advice from within himself. He consulted with himself in a time of discouragement. And that is the wrong person to consult with when you are discouraged. And that's anybody, okay? To consult with yourself when you're discouraged, you're going to end up in trouble. The result of his self-consultation was he got bad advice. It came from himself. And he got the wrong advice. He got bad advice. And it led to, number one, the wrong conclusion. Number two, the wrong solution. Number three, strong delusion. Led to the wrong conclusion. He said, Saul's going to kill me. Now, he had 3 years of evidence of God's protection, but in a time of discouragement, he gave in to his emotion. And he said, Saul's going to kill me. So he came to the wrong conclusion. Number two, wrong solution. He said in verse number 1 of chapter 27, I'm going to speedily escape. You never make a major decision when you're discouraged. You never make a major decision in haste. And to think that you can escape is vain. You cannot escape. You'll have to go through it. God will have to pull you out of it, but you will not escape it. That was David. That was his consulting. By the way, still happens today. People think just by picking up and doing something different, going somewhere else, I can escape. Won't happen. Escape to the moon. Won't happen. Okay? Wrong solution. Strong delusion. He went to the Philistines thinking they would take care of him and have the answers. The Philistines represent the world. The world never has had, doesn't now, never will have the answer for God's people. You're going to end up in a much bigger mess going to the world. So that's what happened when he consulted with himself in a time of discouragement. This is going to be 27, 28, and 29 in a hurry here. And we're not even going to get in 28. He ended up making his residence with the Philistines. He joined ranks with the enemy of the people of God. It would be like you and I moving to Afghanistan. It would be like you and I moving to Baghdad and not to fight for the U.S., but to fight with Muqtadar, Sadar, whatever is Muhammad, his name is. That's what it would be like. It would be like us joining the Taliban. Okay? So he not only joins ranks with them, he became a great warrior for their causes. Now, this is in chapter 27. We'll take time to go through it for sake of time. But, you know, David was he began to be noticed because of his military conquests. For the Philistines. And he was given his own city, Ziklag, because his military conquest was so great. See, David was a tremendous motivator. He was a tremendous leader. Those 600 men followed him to join with the Philistines. So you got David's personal prowess as a military man. And then you got the experience of these 600 men, fighting men, men who have been pursued like dogs, who have learned survival tactics. They're like special forces. And so now you got 600 plus David joining the ranks of the Philistine army. They had quite a jump in military might. Now, I want you to notice three things that happen when somebody goes and joins forces with the world. That's what David did. The Philistines represents the world. It won't take me long to give you these. Number one, the greater the influence, the more careful we must be with our decisions. Look at chapter 27, verse number 2. And David arose and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him. I said the greater the influence, the more careful we must be with our decisions. 600 men followed David into the world. Now, folks, listen. Some of you underestimate yourself. Everybody influences somebody to some degree. Okay? Everybody across the board here. Even the boys and girls. Even the teenagers. Even the elderly. Everybody influences somebody. Now, the more influence God gives us, the greater the responsibility to use that influence rightly. The truth is, we all have influence with others, and God help us to remember that we do have influence when we make decisions. Now, I'll tell you what, the honest truth of the matter is, when you think about the influence that God has given you, it's like a weight. It really is. It's like a weight. It's a responsibility. But there is nothing wrong with having the weight of influence to keep us from deciding wrongly. I appreciate the weight of influence because I think it helps me be careful about decisions that I make, because I know that if I make the wrong decision, somebody's going to go with me. And the same thing's going to happen with you. You don't have to be a pastor to have influence. Okay? Now, it didn't help David in this particular case. But at times, the weight of others watching us will cause us to be careful. The greater the influence, the more careful we must be with our decisions. Okay? And you say, well, I'll get to the age in life where I don't have a lot of influence. That's opposite of the truth. The older you get, the more influence you have. You have influence over your kids, your grandkids, and someday your great-grandkids if God gives you life that long. So be careful. Do not underestimate the influence God has given you. Let it be a weight to help keep you in the right way. Make the right decisions, because you're going to influence somebody. Amen? With every decision you make. Number two, what happens when we go to the world? Number two, God's people lose strength and the world gains strength. You understand, the children of Israel lost 601 fighting men. And the Philistines gained 601 fighting men. Now, folks, 601, somebody loses and somebody gains. Israel lost, the world gained, the Philistines gained. Now, there will always be defectors from one army to another. Always will be. I'm talking about the Lord's army now. I'm talking about the Lord's army versus the world's army. There will always be defectors. You don't want to be a defector. All down through history, people of God have gone AWOL into the world. You don't want to do that. Again, the world has no answer. Oh, I wish you'd get that in your heart. I think we got teenagers, you know, I really watch countenances, really watch facial expressions, really watch the eyes. And I think we got teenagers right now. I mean, they're not seniors, they're not juniors, but they're in the ninth, tenth grade, eighth, ninth, tenth grade. Young people who their eyes to me looks a little empty in there, and it concerns me because it seems like it's always a faraway look into another world, another way to live, another life to live. The world has no answer. Never has had. Okay, so when you leave God's army, you go to the world. You go AWOL into the world. All right? Now, the thing for us to realize is when somebody goes AWOL, if I go AWOL, if you go AWOL, if one of our families goes AWOL into the world, it's no small matter. It is no small matter. Well, yeah, another one left. What's the, you know, that happens all the time. No, it's no small matter. That means God's army decreased in strength and the world's army increased in strength. Every time somebody goes AWOL to the world, God's people lose strength and the world gains strength. Now, David got so discouraged, he didn't care if he led others astray or if the army of God lost strength. He didn't think about any of that. And that is characteristic of what happens when we become our focus. When all we're doing is consulting with ourselves and communing with our own heart and talking to ourselves in times of discouragement, we lose the radar screen. We lose the people who are on the radar screen around us. And we don't give a rip about people that we influence, and we don't give a rip about folks that we may cost the army of God strength. The world gains strength, and the army of God loses strength. So David looked within in himself, and he lost all sight of other people. And he had no concern about it. Number three, let me say this. When you go to the world, time passes faster than you realize. Now, the Bible says in verse number 7, chapter 27, 27:7, and the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. That's 16 months. But by the time you get over to 1 Samuel chapter, into chapter 29, it could be as long as 3 years. I bet David, we're going to get there where he gets back to the right people, he gets back to the right army, and I bet he thinks to himself, I was gone that long? See, time passes so quickly, friend, when you go to the world, okay? It slipped by a lot quicker than David realized. That's another reason to stay put with the Word of God, stay put with the ways of God, stay put with the will of God, stay put with the people of God, because when you get away, time slips away quickly. Boy, oh boy, how long have I been gone? It's a very similar situation to what happened with Elimelech and Naomi in their journey to Moab. Remember that? They went down to sojourn. The word means visit. And they ended up staying 10 years and 3 graves later. That's sad. That's awful. When Naomi went back, she went back with one daughter-in-law. One other daughter-in-law returned to her gods and her people. It was awful. They didn't go to live down there. They went to visit. But they got down there and boom, 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 boom. And the devil has a way of setting all those things up. When you go to the world, time passes a lot quicker than you realize. It's safest just to stay put with the people of God. Now, when you compare David's hiatus into the world with Elimelech's, and I was thinking about this and it brings me to another lesson. We would be tempted to think that God was more gracious to David than he was to Naomi. Okay? You know, David did not bury any loved ones when he was away from the world, away in the world. Naomi did. And you look at what God did to bring David back and you think, boy, why didn't God do that for Elimelech and Naomi? And we're going to look at what God did for David in just a minute. But God did something by grace to bring David back. Now listen, friend. We only have the facts that are left for us in the Bible to learn from in these cases. What we don't know about Elimelech and Naomi is how many times God's grace did move on his heart to get him back to Bethlehem, Judah. How many times did God's grace move on his heart? How many events took place before Elimelech died when he was in Moab, and those events in his life were designed to turn his heart back toward the will of God, turn his heart back to Bethlehem, Judah. We don't know that because it's not in the Bible. All right. We also don't know if the reasons that Elimelech and Naomi went to the world maybe carried more weight with God than David's reason for going to the world. We don't know that. All right. We do know that in Elimelech's case, God's grace hit a brick wall. And justice was enacted. I want to say something. You say, well, boy, that's pretty harsh, justice. When we get away from God, we deserve what we get. That's what happens. I believe, I don't have a record of it because I don't have it recorded in the Scripture, but I would speculate, and maybe someday we'll get to heaven and find out, that God's grace moved on Elimelech's heart in different ways to get him back to Bethlehem, Judah. Elimelech just ignored it. Pay attention. And you know what? God's grace finally hit a brick wall and justice was carried out. Now, in David's case, I want you to see what God did for him. Look at 1 Samuel 29. 1 Samuel 29. Now, keep that in mind there about Elimelech. 1 Samuel 29, verse number 1. Now, the Philistines, now he's been with them either 16 months, anywhere between 16 months and 3 years, 36 months. Now, the Philistines gathered together all their armies to Aphek, and the Israelites pitched by a fountain which is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines passed on by hundreds and by thousands. You get the picture of what's happened here? They're fixing to go to war against Israel. And it's kind of like you've seen the parades. You know when an army goes on parade in front of the leadership of the country? Okay? And that's what they're doing here. So they got these Philistine administration, Philistine leadership, and the army's going on display in front of these leaders. And here comes Achish at the very end of the parade. Here comes Achish. And David and his 600 men, 601 Hebrews. And I won't take time to read it all. Those Philistine lords, they go, time out. What are they doing here? And Achish said, oh man, don't you know? He's been with me for years. That's what he said. That's why I know it's longer than 16 months. Look at what he said in verse 3. Then said the princes of the Philistines, what do these Hebrews here? And Achish said to the princes, see, it surprised the Philistines that the Hebrews were in their army. Is not this David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, which hath been with me these days? This is what Achish is saying. David's been with me these days or these years, and I have found no fault in him since he fell unto me unto this day. And he's going to go to battle with us and fight against the Israelites. And the Philistines said, no, he's not. What better way for him to get back at us than to go to battle in the middle of the battle, turn against us? So the Philistine lords said, send him home. Achish had no recourse. He had to obey. So David was sent back to his home. Look at verse number 9. And Achish, so he tells David this, and David is pleading his case. What have I done? Haven't I proven my loyalty to you? He says in verse number 8. I'm paraphrasing now. He says in verse 9, Achish answered, said to David, I know that thou art good in my sight as an angel of God. Notwithstanding, the princes of the Philistines have said, he shall not go with us to the battle. Wherefore now rise up early in the morning with thy master's servants that are come with thee. And as soon as ye be up early in the morning and have light, depart. And David and his men rose up early to depart in the morning. David was sent back to his home. Now, let me ask you a question. He is in the process of going to war to fight against the Israelites. And the Philistine leadership sends him home. What do you call that? An act of God, Miss Crowley. She hit the nail on the head. She usually does. That's called an act of God. That's called God's grace, isn't it? Friend, can you imagine God's grace kept David from something that could have marred him from fulfilling his calling as a king? Can you imagine if David had gone to battle against his own countrymen? Can you imagine if David had fought and killed his own countrymen and then someday attempted to become king after fighting in battle and killing his own countrymen? Can you imagine what would... There would never have been the King David. The grace of God prevented him from taking this tragic step. And at the time, he didn't even know it. Here's my final lesson. We have no idea how many times the grace of God has kept us from disastrous situations. No idea. I'll tell you what, friend. I make this point because we are tempted to get so carried away with ourselves and lose sight of the truth that we are incredibly weak without God. Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. But we get a little high on ourselves. And our track record, and our this, and our experience, and our years of faithfulness. And I'm for that. But I submit to you that we have no idea how many times the grace of God has kept us from doing something stupid. David didn't even know it. He's fussing about it. What do you mean I can't go fight? Haven't I proven myself? Been here these guys. Good night. What have I done? Gone to battle for you? What do you mean I can't? He's fussing. He has no idea that God's providential grace is keeping him from a huge mistake. I will tell you something. The same is true in my life and the same is true in your life. Over and over again. Now, so the question is this. If we take a hiatus to the world, we're going to be like David or like Elimelech? If you decide, you know, I'm going to the world. I don't care what Dad says, what Mom says, Pastor Angel, anybody else. I'm going to the world. That's my plan. All right, you're going to be like David or you're going to be like Elimelech? Is God's grace going to intervene, turn you around? Or are you going to be like Elimelech where God's grace hits the wall and then justice is enacted? Folks, David did a very similar thing to what Elimelech did. Did he not? Sure he did. So, what are you going to be like, David or like Elimelech? Can I give you an answer? You don't want to find out. Why find out? Why worry about it? Why don't you just set your course, put your decision in concrete. I'm not leaving the Word of God. I'm not leaving the work of God. I'm not leaving the will of God. I'm not leaving the way of God. I'm not leaving the people of God. I'm going to stick with it until Jesus comes and takes me to heaven. I'm not going to take the chance of going to the world and hoping that God's grace will intervene and bring me back like it did to David. You might be in Elimelech. And you don't want to find out which one. You don't want to find out. So David returns to his Philistine home. I'm simply saying we cannot take a chance on doing despite to the grace of God and end up with God's justice being carried out instead of His grace. David returns to his Philistine home. Now, you would think that his journey into the consequences of his advice, his bad advice, is over. He's going home now. But the consequences of taking that bad advice from his own heart, it's not done yet. It gets worse. Come back next Wednesday night. Amen. And we'll talk about that. But why don't we just decide to stay right with what we've been taught, what we know is right. Let me tell you a question to avoid. Avoid the question of what's wrong with. Avoid the question of what's so bad about. Just avoid, eliminate those questions from your vocabulary. Stick with what you've been taught and play it safe. And don't take a chance on getting out of the will of God. Amen? Amen. Let's stand, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Dear Father, bless our crowd, bless this church, bless these dear people. Help them, O Lord. And I pray, O God, for anybody contemplating a hiatus to the world. Lord, time passes far quicker than we realize when we get away from You. Months pass, years pass. Oh, God, it goes so quickly. We wake up someday and go, oh, my goodness, what have we done? Keep us in Thy perfect will. May we never decide to leave and influence others. And Lord, please help us. Please help us. Learn from these men, the Bible. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, you place a song of invitation on the plate.